feeling really quirky tonight. Is that the right word? Really joyful, really in this weird mood. Is that okay? So I kind of need you guys to join with me tonight. Can't be silent, you know, can't be kicking back in your seats just because it's raining outside and you're happy, you know, lucky. But I need you guys to be with me. You know, I'm kind of like a gospel crew, you know, in the USA, the southern parts of the States. Can you guys do that? Like, show me some love. Show me some love. Come on. It's getting better. You're still a bunch of white people, but you'll get there. The title of my message tonight is called Rise. Everybody say Rise. I could have easily chose to preach a message called Wind Down, coming down to Christmas. But I chose to preach a message called Rise. I have two scriptures, not just one, two, that I want to share with you guys to start off this message tonight. First one is from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, it should be on the screen behind you. Bada bing. Bada boom. There it is. Isaiah 61, it says, "Rise up and shine, for your light has come. The shining greatness of the Lord has risen upon you." John 14, 12 says this, "For very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things." Tonight, I am prophesying tonight. There is a new season that we're about to move into as a church. And I am prophesying that you would rise up in the Holy Spirit and not just attempt, believe, dare to believe, to step out and do the even greater things that God has purposed in for you in mind. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, if you've been a Christian for a while, the Holy Spirit moves in waves, and I love seeing it. I'm a very futuristic thinker. I love vision. I love seeing ahead, and as a songwriter, I'm constantly thinking, what does the church need to be singing in 5 years' time? What does the church, where are we going? And I've been seeing the Holy Spirit move in waves. And as I was praying, and God spoke to me and just said, you know, the first wave that hit our church at the beginning of this year that lasted, I'd say, for about 8-9 months, the first wave was the wave of positioning. That God, the Holy Spirit, has been positioning our hearts, softening our hearts, molding us, getting us ready for the next season, getting us ready and prepared. And if you haven't taken notice, if you haven't seen a change in YA society, if you haven't seen a change in City Youth, if you haven't seen a change in the atmosphere and the electricity, and not just this service, but all of our services across all locations, God has just moved in a wave of positioning. The next wave he's gonna move in, the second wave is gonna be the wave of enabling, the wave of equipping. And it's just so funny that next year, every theme that our senior pastor has put in place is all about equipping. Every theme that's going to be preached is all about equipping. Our heart conference, the church, City Point Church conference, is all about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. God is about to prepare you for something. He's been positioning you. He's been getting you ready. He's been stirring and fanning the flames of your heart, stirring the passion, because if the passion and the hunger's not there, you can't receive it. But now that he's positioned you, he's about to enable you. He's about to equip you. And what does that mean? He's going to give you the tools and the resources and the ability to step out in the gifts, to step out in not just the grace and the love, but the power of God that you need in order to fulfill your assignment for this next season. I'm feeling good. You guys feeling good? I'm feeling really good. I'm telling you, tonight, the Holy Spirit just kept saying more and more and more and more. And more. It's not like I am not going to settle just because we're 5 weeks away from Christmas, just because I've written down my Christmas list that I want, just because our New Year's plans. I have no New Year's plans. I'm really bad. Anybody bad at planning for New Year's? I'm really bad. Every year, it's just one year. I used to live in Wakerly. 1 year, we spent we spent New Year's literally in the gutter of the street with our unsaved friends. The Wisharts and us, we actually were ministering to our unsaved drunk neighbor on New Year's Eve one day. It was awesome. But every moment that God wants to take me into another season, you will have a collision with the Holy Spirit. every step that you take in order to fulfill the next step of your assignment, you will collide with the Holy Spirit. And I remember, colliding with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. I came from a very broken background. I came from a divorced family. I came from a place of just, I felt rejected. I felt unwilling. I felt like I did not deserve anything. I didn't see dreams. I looked at just getting by, just survival. And I remember that collision with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I got a taste of destiny. I got a taste of purpose. I got a taste that of daring to actually believe that mustard seed of faith to go, you know what? If I would just rise up, the shining greatness of the Lord will rise within me. The Holy Spirit will rise within me, and I can do greater things. It's a powerful thing. And tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encounter you. He wants to come upon you, and especially the red frogs. I believe that tonight is your night that is going to enable you to continue to persevere in these next coming weeks. Preach it. Come on, I'm not hearing you guys. You with me? It's a Sunday night, man. It is 7:04 on a Sunday night. You're not ready for bed. So number one, if you have your paper and pens that come from trees, or if you have your Apple products, please pull them out. You know what I believe about Samsung. Number one is this. In order for us to rise up and do greater things, this is a reminder to every single one of us, whether you're Christian for 2 months, whether you're Christian for 5, 10, 15, 25 years, in order for us to rise up and do greater things, know that you are valuable to God. Know that you have value. You know, it's funny because so much of this life, we're searching for a sense of self-worth. We're searching to feel important. We're trying to feel valuable. We're trying to think that, you know, does life matter? Do we have something to actually offer this world? And one of the hardest things to come to grip with is the very fact of actually accepting the very thing that we are valuable to God. We base ourselves on our achievements, our accomplishments, or lack of. We base ourselves on the looks of what we see in the mirror. We base ourselves on the popularity, and that's how we judge ourselves. Our self-worth sometimes comes on that, but I'm telling you, if we do that, based on what we've done or what we've accomplished, what people say about you, what your family or your parents, whether they said wrong things or your teacher have said wrong things, if we base our life on that, we're going to find a dead end, an alleyway that leads to darkness. I'm telling you, our value should come from the one true fact, the absolute fact that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And tonight, you are a sonner, you are a daughter, and God loves you and He values you. Some of you go, yeah, I've heard that before. Let me hear it. Let me tell it again. I want you to hear it again. You are valuable. You are worth it. You are so worth it that our Heavenly Father allowed His Son to walk that horrific path to the cross of Calvary and experience the horrific death that He experienced so that you and I can know and taste and experience the very fact that we are loved and valued. I love this. Ephesians 2:10 says this. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. He created you in His image. And in that image is the image of love. And in love, there is no darkness. There is no fear. There is no looking in the mirror and saying, who am I? I don't like what I see. You are a masterpiece. You are created in His image. Let me tell you this. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. These are the foundations. These are the grounds in order for us to rise up and let our light shine. In order for us to step out and believe, actually dare to go, you know what? Greater miracles are to be had. You know what I love is that God works in compounds. He multiplies Himself from generation to generation, that the generations before us have paved the way and the generations after us are gonna see greater things than we've ever seen. But wow, we're set up, we're positioned as a generation to see some pretty ridiculous, awesome things. And I don't know about you, but I'm really hungry. I'm unsatisfied. There's a lingering inside of my spirit that's saying, God, I want more. And it comes from knowing that you are valuable. What brings the most value comes from the owner. We've got a little sport in the States called baseball. Any baseball fans here? One, two. That's the same way I feel about cricket. But hey, I love playing baseball. I love playing cricket, but I just can't stand watching it. You know what I'm saying? We've got this game called baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like baseball, we go to the game. The best part is just going to the park and going to the stadium, and you order the jumbo dog with just ketchup and mustard and relish and chili and that cheese that's just really bad for your heart that you just smother all over it, and you just consume it with not just a jumbo size Coke but a jumbo times 10, and you devour those things. But what brings the most value comes from the owner. And there's a legendary hero in baseball by the name of Babe Ruth. And his bat, now get this, someone valued his bat so much, it sold for $100,000. Just one of his bats. Everybody know the artist and musician Elvis? Yes, some of the generations are like, the younger ones are like, who's that? He just altered music as we know it. But Elvis, since my baby left me, his handkerchief, get this, someone valued his handkerchief so much, snot and all. His handkerchief so much valued it, snot and all, it sold for $300,000. Whoever is the owner will place whatever value, whatever cost. And if you think about it, our Heavenly Father paid the ultimate price. Paid the ultimate price in sending his son to die for you and I. Man, that tells me we are valuable. There's been some research going on that, you know, some scientists and doctors gone around and just said, you know, how much money is the human body worth? And if you dissected it and sold it off in the black market, what would that, you know, what would that actually sell for? And the human body, just an average size human body, would actually go for $6 million. You and I are multimillionaires without even knowing it. And some, tonight, you're a bit more than an average size of a person, so you're a lot more expensive. You got a lot more to give and a lot more to offer. You are something of just beautiful ingenuity. You are masterfully, beautifully crafted. Everything about you, you are valuable. But enemy will try to steal that. I'm telling you, he tried to steal it in my life. He tried to sweep the carpet out under my feet through rejection, saying you're not good enough. I remember when I was playing football and I was one of the captains of my team, and I'd be on the field, and the one thing that I would be thinking about is my dad in the bleachers. But yet my dad wasn't a part of my life. So I every time I looked at the bleachers, yet I knew he wasn't gonna be there, but a rejection set in that God tried to, that the enemy tried to steal my future, he tried to steal my hope with disappointment, fear of man. And some of you here tonight, you've just got to say, you know what? I'm going to get beyond that. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit rise up within me, and I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to fear man. I'm not going to be rejected anymore, and I'm going to receive and accept the very fact that I am valuable. This is not idols. This, obviously, if you look at me, I've got American Indian heritage, if you didn't realize. But this was a gift that at the age of 11, my dad gave me this gift. We grew up in Trailer Park, and he didn't have much money, didn't really have a job, always lived off the government and that sort of thing, just due to some you know, physical and mental reasons. But I love my dad, and thank God he's saved, and he's ministering and serving in the City Point, Fort Collins, NOCO. But at the age of 11, he came back from a fishing trip, and he brought this down to me, and it was my birthday. And I was expecting a football, you know, some other things, just as any 11-year-old would expect. And he gave me this, and I grabbed it, and I grieved. It took me 20 years to see that this is the most valuable gift my dad has ever given me. You know what? And it's in the same way. So many of us will live through life, our Christian journey, without accepting and receiving you're valuable. The actual truth that God loves you and you are valuable. If we're going to rise up, we've got to accept that you are valuable and that you're loved by God. Number two is this. In order for us to rise up and do greater things, He, the Holy Spirit, must first rise up within us. I love this. You look throughout the Bible and you scope through the Old Testament to the New Testament, and you see the Old Testament prophets, and you see these are God-fearing men. They're respected by the men and women of the day. They help shape and mold the thinking just through the hearing of the voice of God and conveying that to the people. And they were awesome, awesome men of God. But how awesome is this? Most of the time in Scripture, it says they are just mere men until the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Just mere men. Can't do a thing, can't change or alter history, but when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, His presence empowers us. His presence puts that S on our chest, puts a little bit of hair on the chest for those that don't have it, like me. Empowers us to do the impossible, to see right through the impossible to the absolute possible. Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. In the original Greek, the phrase be filled is a presence tense verb. I'm trying to sound really smart right now, but to signify a one-time filling, Paul would have used the past tense or a future verb tense, blah, 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 and present tense to denote the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. It's a continual experience. It's a continual experience. I have a fascination with eagles. If you haven't noticed, the eagle feather, eagle tattoo, come from America. Our country's bird is the bald American eagle. I got a fascination with eagles. I love that they fly alone. I love that they're leaders. I love that they're a symbol of awesomeness, and God uses that in the Bible a lot. You like that awesomeness, symbol of awesomeness? Just go with it, guys. Just roll with it. But eagles, get this, eagles fly towards thunderclouds. And you may have heard this, but they fly towards thunderclouds. And get this, so when they're heading towards the harassment of the storm, the chaos, the absolute destruction that storms can bring, they spread their wings when they're just about to enter in the storm. And that spreading of the wings allows them to catch the wind. And that wind helps them rise above and soar higher and higher and higher. And not just higher, it helps them soar faster and build momentum. In the same way, if we tonight as Christians would just open our hearts, spread the wings of our hearts, the next wave, the next season that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us, we will catch that and we will rise above no matter any circumstance that you're facing tonight. No matter what circumstance you're facing, if the Holy Spirit would rise up within you, and I'm telling you, it's not hocus pocus, it's not a seven-step strategy, it's just a desperate cry that tonight you've got to be genuine and say, Holy Spirit, I'm crying out, I need more of you. I do not want to do this alone. It's hard work when we do life without the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you can see it throughout history, Christianity, and different backgrounds of Catholicism or whatever, trying to do life without the Holy Spirit. We get ourselves messed up. David knew this in Psalm 51:11. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Just think about that. Think about the heart of David right there. Do not cast me away from your presence. What does that mean? And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Think about that. That's right there saying that we've got to be so sensitive. I heard this story told about when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened. It says in the Bible the heavens were opened, they were rendered, and the Holy Spirit descended down from the heavens like a dove. And if you were to read up about doves, doves are very frantic birds. At the drop of any noise, those birds will just fly away. Surprised at anything, they'll just go. I think David highlights something and he hits on something here that I think we've got to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As if a dove was resting upon our shoulder, because you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to rest upon you. And if the dove of the Holy Spirit's on my shoulders, I've got to be so sensitive when I'm walking down the stairs of life or up at the rugged terrain of a mountain of life in my obedience, I've got to be so sensitive. The Holy Spirit is there with me, that He's rising up within me. I was watching this the Surf Channel with Pastor, Senior Pastor Mark, just a couple weeks ago, who loves to surf here. Man, just like Colorado, you say, who goes snowboarding, who goes skiing? Everybody's like, not me. Just the tourists. So no one surfs here. I've tried it like two or three times, and I've got a massive grudge against surfing because every time I do, that surfboard takes a nick out of my head and blood, the whole thing. So I've got a grudge against surfing, but I was watching the Surfing Channel, and we were watching that, and Pastor Mark was just going crazy about it. He's in love with it. He's just, they're doing their moves, and they're doing their turns, and I'm like, what do you find so fascinating about this? It's so boring. I mean, it's kind of cool, you know? I mean, but it's the same thing every time. That's cool. Great. You got it. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment, as he can do, and he said, too many Christians watch from the shoreline each wave of the Holy Spirit go by and think they're actually riding it because they're observing it. But in reality, we haven't yet begun to experience. We haven't yet begun to experience what is actually possible. And you know what? Some of you here tonight, you may have caught one of those waves. You may have experienced something, but you've ridden on that wave, that testimony. Every time you get into a conversation with someone, you bring that out of your pocket and you tell them that story. You know, you tell them that how you saw your friend get saved back in high school, but that was 20 years ago. You pull out that thing and yeah, I prayed for that person and that was 10 years ago. I'm telling you, there's another wave of the Holy Spirit that's coming and he wants us to catch it. No more one-hit wonder Christianity. No more one-hit wonder Christianity. There's a saying in the songwriter world says, I said this to our songwriters, you're only as good as your last song. You're only as good as your last song. I want to play a few songs for you and see if you guys can guess it. But play this first one, Jeremy. You feel it? I'm not going to do the moves. Oh. White boys can dance. All right, next one. All right, who can guess this one? Who's got it? Go.
Yo, VIP.
Should I rap?
Let's kick it.
Ice, ice, baby.
I got this.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabbed a hold of me tightly. Flows like a harpoon's alien nightly. Would it ever stop? No, I don't know.
Turn off the light,
and I'll flow to the extreme. I'll walk a mic like a vandal. Slide up the stage and like a jump like a candle dance.
Okay, good. Sorry, that was the American in me. Popped out, sorry. Who let the dogs out? One hit wonder. I'm too sexy. Joan Osborne's One of Us. What if God was, what a crap song. Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. Probably one of the best songs to work out to. Not that I work out anymore, but Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. I'm telling you, we've got to get beyond one hit wonder Christianity. We've got to pursue. It's going to take hunger. It's going to take a discipline. It's going to take a want and a desire to push past what you've already experienced and the complacency and the ease of your life right now, because this is easy. Church is easy when you have a church like this. But we've got to dig deeper. We've got to go further. Number three is this. Come with me. I'm running out of time. In order for us to rise up and do greater things, our total dependency must be on Jesus and Jesus alone. John the Baptist prayed in John 3:30. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now you must understand, he said this because he was about to decrease and Jesus, the era of Jesus Christ, was about to increase. He was prophetically declaring something, but I think he hit on something here. It's not about decreasing our bubbly, loud personalities. It's not about decreasing our voice and becoming silent. It's not about decreasing and losing all personality. It's not about that. It's decreasing to our selfish reliance and our selfish ambitions and our desires and our affections that do not please God. Our total and utter dependency cannot be partial. It has to be total. Our surrender to God, our worship to God cannot be half-hearted. It cannot be fake. We cannot fake it till we make it. We've got to live conscious of the fact that with God, we cannot do anything. With God, we cannot do anything. Jesus Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane even knew this. He could have changed and altered everything that was in front of his path and changed it, but yet he chose to get on his knees and be in total dependence of the Father and be there until the Holy Spirit rose up within him so that he could accomplish the task that was at hand. Are you totally dependent of Jesus tonight? Are you totally dependent? If God was to say, go tomorrow, would you say, yes, I'm ready. I can rise up and I can shine because there's none of me. Those dreams that I thought, I moved to Australia, I wanted to be in some Christian rock and roll band that was touring the world. I almost killed my marriage. I was striving to like nothing else. I thought I was the big next thing. I was, moving this thing. Man, God just completely, Jake Hart, smashed me and drove me to my knees, drove me to the ground, drove me to the end of me until I realized and I learned it's not about me. Until I realized and I learned, God, let your kingdom come, not mine. Too many of us try to weasel our way around. Well, cool, I'll just kind of go over here and hopefully God will bless it. I'll just do this, and yet you know in the back of your heart, that voice, what are you doing? Why are you going that way? I've asked you to take the path less traveled. I've asked you to take the path that may cause some pain. Taking up our cross is not easy. It may cause some of your pride to be broken, to be shattered. Like David said in Psalm 51, God, a broken and contrite spirit is what I can give you, and you will not despise it. The Hebrew word for contrite is daka, which means to crush. To crush. They would crush stone off of a mountain until it was fine, fine pieces of just dust that could float on water. But what happened when it became dust? It was brand new for the mold, brand new to shape into whatever they wanted. God wants to shape you. He wants to rise up within you. He wants to challenge you tonight. He wants to help pursue and push you into this next season. There's an anointing here tonight. There's an anointing here tonight for some of you tonight. Some of you tonight, when I spoke on value, some of you couldn't receive that because you blame yourself. That your innocence was taken. It was stolen tonight. I don't know who I'm sharing that to, but I'm saying tonight, do not blame yourself. There's an anointing here. The Holy Spirit is gonna come upon you. It's just gonna wash that. That feeling is just gonna die. That feeling is gonna drop. You're no longer gonna experience the pain and the bitterness and the resentment that feeling brought to you. Tonight, there's been a couple people here that you're on the path of, on the verge of going, what direction do I take for next year? What does 2014 have in life for me? I really believe that God is saying that he's about to bring that open door. He's about to open the door, but it's that test and that trial. And God's saying, just hold on. Don't make a rash decision. Don't go just because you think it's the right thing. Wait for my voice. And I will open the door and you will see it. And when you know it, you'll know that you know the passion will be there. The resource will be there. The favor will be there. But hold on, wait. The door is about to be opened. Some of you here tonight, you see, from the day we come out of the womb, through our parents parenting us, to the educational system driving this into us, to the world, they drive into us to be independent. They shove into our minds and our worlds that we are to be independent, that we are to be our own person, financially secure. you know, building our lives so that, yes, it pleases me. It's exactly what I want. I want the house to look like that, and I want this, and I want everything to be positioned in right place. Not saying that that's a bad thing, but when that's enthroned upon your heart, and that takes place over Jesus Christ and what he says and where he wants you to go. And tonight, I believe that that independence needs to be shattered. That independence needs to be shattered. And that's just you saying to God tonight, mano y mano, one-on-one, just saying, God, this pride is overwhelming me. This pride has consumed me. I'll shatter it, destroy it, wreck me, smash me tonight. Smash me. I'm not talking about smash you like in a crazy cartoon way or a crazy, you know, worldly way. I'm talking about the intents of your heart, the impressions, the thoughts, the motives, the deep places of your heart. Tonight, let's surrender that to God. Close your eyes and bow your head. Father.